WDR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Ukrainian President Zelensky calling for more international support for his country's war effort.
Tragedies are outpacing life. The tyranny is outpacing the democracy. The supplying of Ukraine with air defense systems must outpace Russia's next missile attacks.
He also called for a moment of silence after a helicopter crash in Kyiv killed the country's interior minister and 13 others on Wednesday. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announcing her resignation effective February 7th. She expressed fatigue and said she doesn't, quote, have enough in the tank to continue. President Biden heads to Central California today to survey the damage following weeks of severe weather in the state. Biden had previously approved federal aid to assist in recovery efforts. The U.S. government nearing the debt ceiling, Congress yet to reach a deal to avoid default. This is ABC News. Prosecutors in Massachusetts detailing for a court some of the evidence they say they have against Brian Walsh, the husband of Anna Walsh, who's been missing since New Year's Day.
Prosecutors claim early on January 1st, Walsh made several searches, including how to stop a body from decomposing, 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to, how long for someone to be missing to inherit, and even how long does DNA last.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos, police have not found Anna, but have charged Brian with her murder. Donald Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, says he's met with Manhattan prosecutors who have revived a years-old investigation into payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet ahead of the 2016 election about an alleged affair with Trump. Cohen said he was ordered not to disclose further details. He pleaded guilty to campaign finance violations in 2018 in connection with those payments. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post ABC News poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. Is the reason some wealthy people oppose democracy deeper than we think? Those of you who are longtime listeners of this program will recognize some of this. I've talked about this before, but I think it's important, you know, at least once every other year or so to bring it up and do a history lesson, basically. I mean, the history of the human race since the agricultural revolution, you know, 7 to 10,000 years ago, has been not one of democracy. It's been, by and large, at least the history of what we call Western civilization, and as well as Asian, and I mean, all the way down to the Incas and the Mayans. It's almost always been a history of emperors and popes and kings and queens, and you know, the rule by the rich. And, you know, then we started this democratic experiment 240 some odd years ago. And it seemed to be going well. It seems to be getting better over time. But now we've got a movement being run by extraordinarily wealthy people, what I refer to as the morbidly rich, trying to basically reduce democracy in the United States. We had a guest on yesterday from documented.net who was telling us about this new article that they just co-published with The Guardian over on The Guardian's website. In fact, the first paragraph, the advocacy arm of the Heritage Foundation, the powerful conservative think tank based in Washington, spent more than $5 million on lobbying in 2021 as it worked to block federal voting rights legislation and advance an ambitious plan to spread its far-right agenda, calling for aggressive voter suppression measures in battleground states. So why would the morbidly rich and their personal, you know, foundations and the corporations that made them rich, why would they be throwing money into efforts to reduce democracy in the United States? There's actually a fascinating backstory here. It goes back to 1951. In 1951, Russell Kirk, who was a, you know, kind of a well-known conservative gadfly thinker, published a book called The Conservative Mind. It's still in print. It's, in fact, it went through three or four different editions before Kirk finally died, and you know, updates over time. And in that book, and probably more importantly and more explicitly in many of the writings about and around that book, particularly by people like William F. Buckley, who argued in print in National Review that, you know, whites should continue to control the United States because blacks are inferior, literally said that. But around that book and that time in the early 50s was this theory among Republicans, among conservatives, that the growing middle class at that point in time was a danger to American democracy. The American middle class in 1951 was growing faster than any middle class had ever grown in the history of the world. By that point, 1951, about half of us were in the middle class. That had never happened before in any country. And Kirk and others around him, particularly Buckley, predicted that if the middle class continued to grow, we would hit a point where the average working person would have enough wealth that they would have the leisure time to engage in politics, which had traditionally been the sport of the rich. And that once the average American started getting politically active, it would produce chaos. There would be riots in the streets, the country would be on fire, the proletariat would rise up and demand that the rich be taxed to death and all that money be redistributed, and that would be the end of society, the end of democracy, the end of America. Now, when Kirk published that in 1951, there was only a small number of conservatives who took him seriously. They thought he was a crackpot. I mean, Barry Goldwater loved it, William F. Buckley loved it, but Dwight Eisenhower in 1954 said of Kirk, not specifically, but of the billionaires who were funding him, actually, the Hunt brothers, he said, or supporting him, he said, you know, their numbers are small and they are stupid. That was in 54. But then came the 1960s. In 1961, the birth control pill was legalized. By 1964, it was in widespread use, kicking off the women's movement. Women were saying, hey, we can control fertility now. We want equality in the workplace, equal pay, equal rights. We had the civil rights movement was getting very, very active throughout the 1960s. And, you know, with the crescendo being the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, and of course the passing in 67, I think it was, and the passage, or 68, and the passage of the Voting Rights Act and Civil Rights Acts in 64 and 65. I've got the order backwards, but you know what I'm talking about. And so by the end of the 60s, in addition to those things, there were a number of high-profile police killings of unarmed black people that then provoked riots, and so you had cities on fire. So you had women burning their bras, or at least that, you know, that was the media narrative. You had black people burning cities. You had the war in Vietnam. By 1967, you had students burning draft cards. I mean, this was, at that point, you know, the conservatives, and the labor union, the labor movement was in full swing. 1970 was the peak. 5,716 strikes in that 1 year. Over 3 million workers walked out in 1970. And as that happened, these four things happened, these four movements, all happened in the 60s. Conservatives looked back at what Russell Kirk had written and said, my God, this guy was a prophet. The country is in flames. The young people are rebelling. The women and minorities no longer know their place, for God's sake. We've got to do something. And what they did was, in 1980, they elected Ronald Reagan. And the Reagan agenda was, you know, very straightforward. Declare war on labor unions so we can dial back the wealth and thus political power of the middle class, the working class. End free college across the nation so students would study in fear rather than be willing to protest. Increase the penalties that Nixon had put on the war on drugs so that the force of law could be used against black people and the anti-war hippies. As John Ehrlichman, you know, pointed out, I've shared that quote with you many times, so I won't do it again, but you can easily find it. Well, it's in my piece today at HartmanReport.com. And, you know, Reagan cut taxes on rich people. He dropped the top tax rate from 74% down to 27% ultimately. He put a tax on Social Security income. He put a tax on unemployment benefits. He created a mechanism to tax tips. He ended the deductibility of credit card, car loan, and student debt interest, all things that were used by the middle class. He declared war on labor unions. He crushed PATCO. He brought a young lawyer named John Roberts into the White House to work out ways to overturn Roe v. Wade. His vice president brought in his son, George W., to build bridges between the GOP and the fanatics in the hard right part of the evangelical Christianity movement. And he and Bush pushed through revived the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade and wrote NAFTA, which Clinton then signed. And sure enough, it worked. Reagan's doubling down on the war on drugs shattered black communities. Our prison population exploded. It became the largest in the world, both in as a percentage of the population and in absolute numbers. His war on labor cut average inflation-adjusted minimum and median wages. I mean, his war on students. Now we got $1.7 trillion in student debt. And the key to selling all this to Americans was Reagan's assertion that democracy is dangerous. He said this in his first inaugural address on January 20th, 1981. Ronald Reagan got up and said that government is not the solution to your problems. Government itself is the problem. Democracy is the problem. Because they believed that that instability in the 60s was the result of too much democracy. Now, my argument is that that instability in the 60s were the birth pains, and I think the analogy to labor and childbirth is almost perfect one. They were the birth pains of a whole, you know, societal transformation. Civil rights, voting rights, women's rights, you know, right across the board. But that's not how the Republicans viewed it, and so they basically went to war against us. And I am hopeful that by laying this out, that the reason why these plutocrats, these morbidly rich people, are funding efforts to dial back democracy, to suppress the vote, to make it harder for people to have access to the vote, to make it harder for people to participate in politics, to pour money into the system so that, you know, the actual desires of average people are largely ignored. That the reason they're doing this is because they believe this is what's necessary to create a stable society. Edmund Burke, the British philosopher back in the 1790s, Thomas Paine stopped at his house in 1793 on his way to the French Revolution to get himself arrested. That wasn't his plan to get arrested, but that's what happened. James Monroe bailed him out, in fact. But when Paine stopped by, Burke, you know, made this statement that, you know, being a hairdresser or a candle maker is just fine, but people like that shouldn't be allowed to vote. It does violence to society, was Burke's comment. And Paine was so pissed off by that, he wrote an entire book rebutting Edmund Burke. His book is still in print. It's called The Rights of Man. But that was the dynamic. Burke's worldview is the same as the modern conservative billionaire worldview, which is that society must have order and classes, and stability is more important than progress. And, you know, I disagree, frankly. I think that progress is more important than stability, and instability is actually a sign of positive forward motion. It's a good thing. And I think it's unfortunate that most Americans don't realize that it's not just, you know, rich people aren't buying the political system and making it harder for average people to vote, particularly black people, young people, older people, you know, students. They're not doing that just because they want to have more tax cuts and they want their companies deregulated. I mean, that's a piece of it. That's a benefit. But for many of them, for the ideologues in the conservative movement, their main goal is to create a stable America. They look at the era of popes and kings and queens and emperors and whatnot and say, that's stability. After all, Europe, I mean, you know, the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages lasted more than 1,000 years with almost no change. Stability. That's what they want to take us back to. What say you? I'll pick up your calls in a little bit.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Also, how does America deal with the 1 in 10 Americans who get COVID and end up with long COVID? This is going to be a hell of a challenge for us.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Louise and I are starting the new year just the way we finished it, with one great night's sleep after another, thanks to our Cozy Earth bedding. They are the softest, most comfortable sheets ever. Cozy Earth was founded to help transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. And with over 5,000 five-star reviews on their website, they're clearly doing just that. Cozy Earth uses only luxury materials, such as the finest premium viscose made from highly sustainable bamboo. No wonder Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row. And Cozy Earth bedding, which comes in 6 awesome colors, is super soft, lightweight, and temperature regulating, so you sleep more comfortably year-round. Whether it's their luxury sheets, loungewear, pajamas, or plush bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Plus, Cozy Earth bedding comes in a beautiful reusable canvas tote. So get cozy now. Hurry, you can save 35% on Cozy Earth. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, and save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, CozyEarth.com.
And welcome back. So we're all vulnerable is the title of the article in the Australian newspaper, theage.com.au, by Ashley McMillan. And it's basically it's a report on a public on a report. It's a report on a report, or a report on a paper, a peer-reviewed scientific paper that was published last Friday in the academic journal Nature Reviews Microbiology. And they're defining long COVID as COVID that lasts more than 12 weeks. And an estimated 65 million people worldwide now have long COVID. It's estimated, I'm quoting from the article, it is estimated more than 10% of those who catch COVID will experience chronic health issues, with women aged 30 to 55 particularly at risk. Long COVID symptoms vary but can include severe fatigue, brain impairment, and nervous system dysfunction, as well as nausea and shortness of breath. And this is another one that caught my eye. They write, each time a person is reinfected with the virus, they have the same likelihood of catching long COVID. In other words, having had COVID once before and not getting long COVID doesn't mean that the next time you get it, you won't. They say an analysis by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs of 150,000 American veterans showed they had an increased risk of cardiovascular disease such as heart failure and stroke a full year after catching COVID, regardless of how severe the initial infection was. This is one nasty disease. And you hear that, you know, we've got a very low unemployment rate right now, and, you know, employers are trying to find employees and all this kind of stuff. Well, if 10% of the people who have, you know, who got COVID have long COVID, and, I mean, we don't have numbers of the total number of people in America who have been infected with COVID, but it's probably in the neighborhood of 150 to 200 million people, which means that we could have 15 to 20 million people, if it's 10%, who have long COVID. That sounds like it's just a mind-boggling number. Now, what percentage of the people in the workforce? Well, there's 135 million people in the workforce in the United States. I might be off by 5 or 10 million, but it's in that neighborhood. So if 10% of that's 13 million people, 10% of that with long COVID, and people with long COVID are probably not in the workforce. That might be one of the things that's driving our low unemployment numbers. Because, you know, the labor force has shrunk. I think this is just the math of all this, and the economic and cultural impacts of this, I think, are fascinating. Not to mention the horrors of the medical side of the danger of getting COVID and ending up with long COVID. So, anyway, lots to talk about today. We'll pick up your calls on the other side of this break, 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Exposing the con in conservative, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here. Explore the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of old New England with American Cruise Lines. You'll visit scenic Martha's Vineyard, beautiful Nantucket, and Bar Harbor. Enjoy an authentic lobster bake along the rocky shores of Maine aboard the newest fleet of small cruise ships. Relax on your private balcony, breathing in the ocean air as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Simply request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day, with no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with
WAUK.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Ukrainian President Zelensky calling for more international support for his country's war effort.
Prejudice are outpacing life. The tyranny is outpacing the democracy. The supply of Ukraine with air defense systems must outpace Russia's next missile attacks.
He also called for a moment of silence after a helicopter crash in Kyiv killed the country's interior minister and 13 others on Wednesday. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announcing her resignation effective February 7th. She expressed fatigue and said she doesn't, quote, have enough in the tank to continue. President Biden heads to Central California today to survey the damage following weeks of severe weather in the state. Biden had previously approved federal aid to assist in recovery efforts. The U.S. government nearing the debt ceiling. Congress yet to reach a deal to avoid default. This is ABC News.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on ya. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on Sirius XM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. Okay, welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour and picking up your phone calls. Terry in Ventura, California. Hey, Terry, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Hey, thank you for yesterday's program. I already went out and got my copy of The Midnight Kingdom, share with my book club. And before my main point, quickly, there are parallels economic history to the Black Death to what's going on now, and I think that's interesting, Tom.
Tell me about okay? it.
My main point. It's been years since I read the...
You're talking about how when the Black Death or the bubonic plague wiped out about a third of Europe, that led to the Renaissance because suddenly there was such demand for labor that the price of labor went up and Europe's first middle class emerged in, was it like the 1340s or something like that?
I'd have to research the book I read 20 years ago, Tom, but I remember distinctly labor was in short supply and they started asking for such like higher wages, and if they didn't, they
wouldn't. It was the beginning
work,
of the guilds, too. It was the beginning of the unions.
That's right, Tom. It's an interesting parallel, Tom, but that's not my main point. Mm-hmm. You and I share our Michigan background. Mm-hmm. Remember, they tried to kill and kidnap the governor.
Yep.
And the Secretary of State of Michigan is currently developing a whole series of programs to end the intimidation of the election process and the harassment. But my main point,
Jocelyn,
and I wish this would, exactly. But my main point, and I think this would really cool the jets of the electors, the fake electors, the duly elected electors after the election are suing the fake electors personally because they feel intimidated by what they did. And if they were to lose lawsuits to the fake electors, I think that would really send a big message to fair-minded people to say, hey, these fake electors lost, okay? Yeah. I think it's for personal liability, Tom, and I just wanted to share that. Well, I wish that would happen in the other purple states, okay?
That's a good one, Terry. And I'm wondering, you know, if Ron DeSantis can throw, random black people in prison for voting when they had, you know, a felony on their record. And after, you know, the measure, Measure 5, I think it was called, was passed in Florida that re-enfranchised former felons. And then, of course, the Florida legislature messed with it. But if he can throw people in jail for voting, why is Merrick Garland not throwing people in jail for fake electoring? I mean, that's even worse. That's saying I represent the votes of an entire state and lying about it.
Right. Good point.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot. John in Staten Island. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. What's up?
Thank God. Listen, I always argue with you and scream and shout. I don't want to do that today.
Okay.
I just want you to help me understand something. If Donald Trump was the president and he had the right to declassify any document at any moment, and Joe Biden was the vice president and he didn't have that ability, now all these documents that pertain to China and Russia and other countries that his son is doing business with now and before, and the college...
You're talking about Don Jr. And Jared? Is that...
No, I'm talking about Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Hunter Biden, who's making all this money with the Russians and the Chinese till this day. Now, how is it that Donald Trump's a criminal and Joe Biden's not?
Well, we'll find out. I guarantee you, John, the Republicans will find out if Joe Biden is a criminal. I personally don't think he is. But I don't think any thinking person can argue that Donald Trump's not a criminal. He's been convicted of multiple crimes. His company was just convicted of fraud.
His company was convicted of fraud.
Yeah, Michael Cohen went to jail for three years. I mean, he didn't serve the whole term, but went to prison for 3 years for delivering a check that Donald Trump signed to Stormy Daniels. I mean, the CFO of his company is in prison right now for doing what Trump told him to do. How is Trump not a criminal?
Because I don't understand, but what does that have to do with... So you're talking about paying off a woman who's having a baby or had sex with you versus the president's son and the president, the moment the president right now, not when he was taking these documents?
So we're back to Jared Kushner getting $2 billion from the Saudis, and we don't know if that's because Donald Trump gave some of those top secret documents to the Saudis in exchange for that $2 billion. Or now we've discovered that the whole LIV golf tournament is owned and controlled by Mr. Bonesaw, Mohammed bin Salman.
Okay.
So how much of that money has Donald Trump gotten, and what did he give them for it?
Hold on one second. You asked four questions,
all right,
and you don't give me time to answer one.
Go for it, John.
Donald Trump gave secret documents to the Saudis, right?
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming there was some quid on the other end of the $2 billion.
Whenever you assume something, you won't assume that you got a hard drive full of information that the FBI now won't let anybody see. But they're not criminals.
Are you talking about Hunter Biden's laptop? That's publicly available. Yeah, that's been published so many times. It's all over the place. You can find it on the internet.
Okay, so I tried. You can't Google all that you find it. But no. Let's get back to the question. You're always dragging me right off the question. Let's take Donald Trump committing crimes. He took documents that were secret and he gave them to the Saudis.
And he lied about it.
Just before he handed it to them, he said, "I declassified these documents." Now they're declassified, aren't they? Legally. According to our Constitution.
I don't believe so. There is a process that even presidents have to go through to legally declassify documents.
What's the name of that process?
It's the declassification process.
And Donald Trump could have taken those documents and done that, right?
He could have, yeah.
So the question is, he did it, and he took those documents and gave them to the Saudi.
I don't know if you caught, John, just this morning, he was tweeting is the wrong word, but, on his social media site, Truth Social, he's got a whole new riff out, Trump does. He just came out and said that he explains it, and you can find it. I mean, it's easy enough to find.
I don't follow Donald Trump.
Yeah, okay. Well, what he said was that when he was president, they would bring in these classified documents in these really cool folders that had all kinds of classified markings on them, and he would give them back the documents, but he would keep the folders as really cool souvenirs. That was a really cool memorabilia, one or the other word. So now Trump is trying to say, I didn't actually take classified documents. I just took the folders. I think it's all falling apart.
All right, but the question I have for you right now, legally, Joe Biden committed a crime by having these documents because he doesn't have the right to have them. But Donald Trump could have declassified them. So legally, when you're talking about, because everyone likes to talk about Donald Trump, who he farted in 2001 and people didn't like the smell, he's a criminal.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. You know, John, this is the beginning of what is going to be a 2-year process. I would call it a witch hunt, but
no, I don't think it's going to last that long.
We'll see.
Give my opinion?
Certainly.
I think the Democrats are afraid of Joe Biden right now. I think Joe Biden is gone before the end of the summer. Kamala Harris is going with him. And the reason why the Republicans put up such a stink with this guy, the Speaker of the House, is because they realize by November this year.
You think Kevin McCarthy's going to be president?
He's going to be president.
Yeah.
He's got to be.
Okay.
Come on. We'll see.
John, I got to move along. I want to let some other callers in here, but thank you for the call. It's fascinating. Who knows? Bob in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Oh, my gosh, Tom.
Well, you got to listen to the other side from time to time. What's up, Bob?
Other side. My God. It's like a kaleidoscope of absurdity. Okay, I'll get right to it. Power. And you're always saying, we'll see. There's a lot of things that are known, verified, come up bubbling through history that we now know.
So are you saying that your answer to my question, are rich people funding efforts to restrict democracy, not just because they want to get richer? And I was saying, but because they think that too much democracy is dangerous for America, you're arguing that they just want power. Is that the point you're making, Bob?
I'm saying what you're saying. They're not interested in democracy. No. That's obvious. Farmers would be growing an industrial hemp crop right now, and that would be transferred into industry so that we could regenerate the forest in a better way. And all these dispensaries, all this control freaking, Jim Crow government that is disguised as one thing or another in the way of progress. Some people think nuclear power is progress. I don't. I think it would be absolute destruction. And we're headed that way unless we're going to defuse the situation and grow it from the ground up. We're not going to have any peace. Yeah. We're in sight.
Yeah, no, I get it. Bob, thank you. And thanks for you always bringing it around to him. You got a point often. Bob, thank you very much for the call. We'll continue with your calls in just a moment. It's 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman program, the True People's Media.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Speaking the truths, the morbidly rich would really rather you didn't know all about. We'll be right back.
Old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my fierce commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America. Also, it more clearly identifies the root cause of so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at TomHartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com. Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica or one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. Welcome back. Picking up your calls, Sarah in Terre Haute, Indiana. Hey, Sarah, you wanted to challenge my assertion that the Dark Ages and Middle Ages were a relatively stable period?
I see the point that you're getting at, but in terms of volatility, there was extreme volatility between the nobility and those in the monarchy at the time. There were constantly challenges to the throne, but I think what you're referring to in stability is what used to be known as the Great Chain of Being. Meaning everyone has their place and you cannot rise above your station.
That's exactly right. What I was referring to was that basically the system of governance, in feudalism, did not change for a thousand years in any consequential way. Yeah, the players moved around, certainly, but the system itself did not change. And Kirk, in 1951, was arguing that the American system that was founded in 1787 or 1789 when the Constitution was ratified was itself at risk.
Right, and it always will be. Pertaining to the former caller, she's right. The rich want stability because they want to stay rich and they want to keep the poor poor.
Yeah.
And if that means that they have the politicians in their pocket, which we know they do, that's what they're going to do. And I think that's why, especially in America, you see so much pushback on green energy and renewable energy, because you have those in the fossil fuel industry who are some of the richest sons of guns in the country, and they want to stay that way.
Yeah.
And that's why you have so many Republicans and those in the GOP who push back against it. Not that they disagree, but they'll lose the money and they'll lose the influence. And that's where we're at as a society.
Yeah. You know, Sarah, it says here that you're a medieval historian. Are you familiar with the writings of Mark Bloch? On feudalism, it's been probably 20 years since I read his at least one of his books, but I wrote about one of his books in one of my books, and my recollection is that he was drawing some substantial parallels between the essential ideology of feudalism, which is class, order, hierarchy, and the modern corporate state. I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Right. Basically, the feudalistic society, you know how that ended for them. It's the same concept as far as the Great Chain of Being. People came to America to reinvent themselves, reinvent the wheel. That Great Chain didn't exist here. They say we're a capitalist society and everyone has the chance to rise above their station. They do not. The rich want to stay rich. And so in terms of the society today, you still have the working class. And you have the poor working class. And unfortunately, those that need the help that the Democrats can offer, or even, the left, the progressives, they're hoodwinked into thinking that the only people that can help them
are
those who want to hurt them. Right. Yep, are the rich,
and that, and yep. there, and thus we watch on our TV screens as Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin high five each other at Davos and think, oh yeah, this is the ruling elite. Amazing, Sarah. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for
a thoughtful
conversation. I appreciate it. Charles in Miami. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? I enjoyed the opening intro, and did I get this right? You're saying with Ronald Reagan. You broke it down to like the lady just said, the rich in this country, they're fighting for stability.
That's right. Reagan thought, I really do believe this, that Reagan thought he was saving America from itself, that too much democracy is a dangerous thing, and that America had reached the point certainly by the late 1960s, where too much democracy was tearing our country apart. I'm of the opinion that the tearing of our country apart that was happening in the 60s, and I remember it well, I lived through it, that was actually a period of transition, of cultural and social and political transition, and a healthy transition ultimately. But, Reagan and the conservatives of his era didn't see it that way. And in my opinion, to this moment, most of the really, really morbidly rich who are funding these efforts to restrict democracy don't see it that way.
Well, I sort of agree with you, but I wouldn't think the linchpin is stability. I sort of think it's immunity.
Interesting.
It's immunity. Because every time the Republicans take over, they're either plundering, killing Americans die, and they get away with it. For example, with Trump, he let so many people die because of this COVID. I mean, all of those deaths to me in the very beginning, it's on his hands.
Yeah, and we never even had any hearings on that. I mean, at least to the best of my knowledge.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think your point is well taken, Charles. Immunity. It's one of the perks of power, certainly, and obviously something. I mean, now you've got these committees that Kevin McCarthy has put together that are going to be basically trying to provide cover for all these members of Congress who were, in my opinion, complicit in sedition.
Amen to that. And like I said, even when you explained over the years that Bush and Cheney, even Ronald Reagan and Bush, they were all kleptocrats. They're always stealing money. But earlier in the week when we were talking about Martin Luther King, I just have a jaded outlook on American politics from the 60s till now, and I just think basically, King was getting in the way, like you were saying. He came. He started talking more about economics, and white people and black people getting the poor whites and and black people getting together and trying to better the country. And I just think what they did was to get rid of all these young black activists was they kept the war going.
Yeah.
So it's just to me,
they certainly did. I mean, history seems to agree with you, Charles. Charles, thanks. Thanks for the call. It's always nice to hear from you. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. I want to get into Dean Obidala is going to be with us. Stick around. This is fascinating stuff about Jim Jordan.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
I'm starting the new year just the way I finished it, with one great night's sleep after another, thanks to my Cozy Earth bedding. They are the softest, most comfortable sheets ever. Cozy Earth was founded to help transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. And with over 5,000 five-star reviews on their website, they're clearly doing just that. Cozy Earth uses only luxury materials, such as the finest premium viscose made from highly sustainable bamboo. No wonder Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row. And Cozy Earth bedding, which comes in 6 awesome colors, is super soft, lightweight, and temperature regulating, so you sleep more comfortably year-round. Whether it's their luxury sheets, loungewear, pajamas, or plush bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Hurry, save 35% on Cozy Earth. So get cozy now. Go to CozyEarth.com.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
MyShiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.